This is a very special episode of You, Me, Them, Everybody. It's our first live show in 6 episodes, and that's because we were on a boat called Shiprocked, and one of the artists that was supposed to be on Shiprocked wasn't able to make it, but he was able to make it here. He's from Florida, and I'm incredibly grateful he's here. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Aaron Lewis from the hit band Stained, everybody. Aaron Lewis from the hit band Stained, come on up, buddy. It's a very special treat. One of the reasons why I wanted the boat was to see Stained, and it was really disappointing when they couldn't make it. So we decided to spend all of our money and fly Aaron out, and I'm glad we did.
And you bring me to my knees again. All the times that I would beg you, please, in vain. All the times that I cried, all this wasted, all inside, and I feel all this pain, stuffed it down, it's back again, and I lie here in bed, all alone in my mind. But I feel tomorrow will be okay. Thank you.
Yeah! Aaron Lewis from Stained, everybody.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Aaron, I thought you were from Florida.
No, no. You know, a lot of people don't know Stained or indeed English. Yes.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yes, yeah, we're from Sarasota, England.
Oh, shit! Well, there's the mistake. That's on me. I apologize.
It's very common, very common.
Now, why weren't you able to do the boat cruise? I was so excited to see you.
Well, we had a bit of visa issue.
Visa issues?
Yes, that's right. You know, we're getting a work visa.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a drag these days, a bit of a roundabout.
I understand.
You know, do they say roundabout here?
Kind of.
It's sort of like Piccadilly Circus, you know?
Kind of, yeah.
It's
yeah.
all higgledy-piggledy sometimes.
Yeah. Now, you know, a lot of people don't know that you actually have outside interests besides music.
Well, before I was in bands, I was actually at school. I did quite a bit, you know, I did my first doctorate at Oxford.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you study?
Semiotics.
Oh, really?
That's right, yeah. I studied semiotics and then did, well, that was for my undergraduate. And then for my master's, I went to Yale.
Really?
Yes, I studied... well, I did sort of a hermeneutic religious studies thing.
Wow.
You might be like, hermeneutic religious studies, and there are the two terms, where hermeneutics and exegesis, are, some people think, interchangeable.
But they're not.
No, certainly not. Well, in religious studies, one has to sort, especially believers, a lot of these are sort of clergymen that are in academia, and they sort of have to dislocate themselves from their beliefs in order to, like, pursue academic religious studies properly. So... hermeneutics is sort of like an academic term, where exegesis is sort of refers to more like biblical analysis and sort of the in like a church setting, or you know, among religiosic types.
Of course, of course. Now, you know, one of the things you're known for is your friendship with Fred Durst.
Oh, love Fred. He's great. Good chap, that Fred.
What do you and Fred talk about?
Oh, well, mostly, you know, Fred's very interested in ancient runes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the sort of the symbologies of the ancients.
Really?
Yeah, you know, he's very well read on the subject. In fact, he's published a couple papers, it's true.
I am surprised by
that.
Yeah,
so Fred and I, you know, when I get on with Fred, we have a couple pints, and, you know, he comes around my chateau. I've got a chateau. And he comes around, and...
Is that also in Sarasota?
It's Sarasota, England, yeah.
Got it.
And, you know, he comes around, Fred and I get to talking, and, I mean, we could talk well into the hours about Not just ancient symbologies, but James Joyce. He's a big Joycean scholar. I'll tell you something. Fred Durst knows more about Ulysses than anybody I've ever met.
You know, I wish I talked to you before the cruise.
He's very versed on Homeric myth also.
Really?
Yeah, he published a paper called License to Iliad.
Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Sarasota, England, Florida, put your hands together for Aaron Lewis, everybody. It's that rock and roll lifestyle. He's got to destroy every mic. Guys, welcome to the show. Aaron's going to sign this lyric sheet later, and we're going to raffle it off for Cancer Sucks, the official sponsor of Shiprocked and this podcast. Welcome to the show, everybody. I didn't do anything yet. I'd like to point out for the listener at home, you got to make our live shows because then you can go home with some sweet swag like this Shiprock napkin. We have one for everyone in the room. That costs $40. It was totally worth it, though. Totally worth it. We're going to washy-washy, happy-happy our hands the entire night so no one gets diseases. I went on a cruise as a bit. The end. I've never missed my wife more. I don't think she is happy with me right now because she shouldn't be. Why? I brought home one thing from the boat. Is it an STD? No, it's a koozie that says crazy bitch, signed by the lead singer of Buckcherry, who's been sober for 20 years. His biggest hit song is about how he loves cocaine. It was released in 98. He's sober. Everything is a lie. I don't know what to believe anymore. The guy that I thought would be the biggest idiot on the boat was a very nice pescatarian who loves his children. What happened?
I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you all about what happened.
What happened is I didn't know what I was going to say until about an hour ago, and then I was recapping in my mind because that's how recaps work to me. This is my time. I'm sorry. That was not uttered once on that boat. I'm sorry. No one ever said that. There was one official comic and one official host for the cruise. Now, I'm not going to say the name of the host because I don't remember it because he's a horrible, horrible person. And the comic is Big J. Okerson. Now, Big J. Okerson is actually getting onto like really good festivals. Like he did South by Southwest this year or last year. And not counting Shiprock, he's getting like really respectable gigs. And he's sort of like Andrew Dice Clay, but like 150 pounds heavier. Like he still wears gloves, but he can't wear a leather jacket, so he wears a hoodie and he says horrible things about women. And the other host of this radio show that none of you in this room will ever listen to, so don't worry about it, he also says horrible things about women. And I thought like, oh, I'm going to go on this stupid boat cruise headlined by Limp Bizkit. I'm going to hear a lot of this. And I actually didn't. I really only heard it from the two people that do the thing that's sort of like what I do. And I realized, oh, I do this show because I really love to scream my opinions at people. Right? So last night at 9 p.m. during the official beer pong tournament hosted by Crowbot, I started yelling my feminist, non-homophobic beliefs at two grown men. Why didn't I just stay here and do another show? Why did I go to a fucking horrible boat? All cruises are horrible. Why did I go on a horrible boat to do this? I'll never know. I'll never do it again. And we're going to talk all about that tonight. And then an amazing comic's going to come up here, and another amazing comic's going to come up here, and then a really good band who sounds nothing like any of the bands on Shiprock. Actually, you guys sound exactly like Andrew W.K., so I'm very excited for that. So, I don't want to get ranty, and former co-host, current friend, Jen Tisdale's here, and she was on the boat with me, so let's just bring her up now. Let's get this shit started right now. Jen Tisdale, please come to the area of the stage. Jen and I have spent a long time together, and to the dismay of all of my friends, we're still friends. We don't hate each other. Why are you looking at me like we're not friends anymore? Did I just say something bad? That's your microphone. Okay, so Jen, I'd like to hand you your crazy bitch koozie signed by Josh Todd, lead singer of Buckcherry. That's for you.
Can I put my wine glass in that?
No, you can't. That's not how koozies
work. But that's
work.
Something that a crazy bitch would do.
Okay, so We're going to talk a little bit about the cruise. We're going to talk about the cruise for a few minutes, and then we're going to play an exclusive interview that Jen and I conducted with Fred Durst. And it's an exclusive interview because no other press outlet – there were multiple press outlets on this boat. No other press outlet could get a Fred Durst interview because it was so hard to do.
Right. I dangled a chocolate starfish-flavored hot dog-colored water bottle in front of him, and he could not resist.
Does anybody know that reference?
It's not even the right reference because I was just rolling too much.
Okay. So we've already gone on two tangents. Just within 10 seconds. Perfect. This is going to be a great segment, and I mean that sincerely. Okay, these are the things that I want to mention. There's no way we're going to be able to recap 5 days in 10 minutes, but let's just start randomly. We interviewed Vernon Reid from Living Color, which is a fantastic band who we saw and was not sad in any way. They are still a good band. They're playing Brooklyn on Valentine's Day, which means they get hipster cred. The guitarist had a shirt that said Harmless Black Man, and he was the only one on the boat with that shirt on. It was pretty great. We did not mention that CM Punk has uses Cult of Personality as their theme song.
No.
Okay, moving on. My jacket smells really, really bad right now.
Yes.
There was a Mardi Gras night, and it made me really sad. Keep going.
Not as many breasts as you would
think. I didn't see any nude
for
breasts.
For a Mardi Gras night. So. I don't know how they were getting those beads, but they were getting those beads. And then I did like an air blowjob thing, so you guys didn't see that. For the listeners at home, I made an air blowjob reference.
The band Filter, a band I really enjoyed in high school, was there, and I did not enjoy them at 32. I'm 32. I'm a 32-year-old man, and I was one of the youngest people on the boat.
I was and am still 34.
Yeah.
And my favorite part of the Filter show was when he started to go into, is it Take Your Picture?
Take a Picture.
Take a Picture. The first thing he, being the singer, says is, "My dad died a month ago." And I was like, oh. And then he launched into a song where like a large part of the song is him screaming, "Hey, Dad, what do you think about your son now?"
And then the song closes with, "I miss you, Dad."
I miss you, Dad. It was bad.
Which would have been like a sweet moment, except every 10 minutes he would go, "I'm a Satanist. It's okay, guys. I'm an atheist."
So I can say that. And
okay.
Like, you guys aren't enjoying
this. They piped music throughout the entire boat. Like, as soon as you leave your door, there's shitty metal on 24/7.
Yeah, and then there's a rotation of the shitty videos of the shitty bands in case you were, like, not standing under one of the shitty metal speakers. So you could watch that unfold in front of you if you want.
We did have a TV in the room, and we went to the gym every day because we have respect for ourselves. And the only things that we watched was the movie Rockstar on loop, because that was on 24/7.
Starring Mark Wahlberg.
And featuring Zach Wilde, who is a real human being that was also on the boat. We'll get to him in a second. And we watched a lot of BBC World News. Guys, it's not a good time right now. Angela Merkel had a meeting today with the president with Putin and Russia.
The guy from Silk Road is going to jail, guys.
Yeah, guys.
So please find another website to get your illegal drugs and to hire assassins.
Andrew W.K. is a very, very nice man who seemingly did not want to be there. We did an interview with him.
I fell in love.
And he's ripped, guys. That's about it. A lot of misogyny, sexism, and homophobia, but not as much as you'd expect. Go to BYT this week for a taste test just on the chocolate buffet. They dipped everything in there.
They have a chocolate fountain there, which I was the most excited about. I called Norwegian Cruise Lines ahead of time, and I tried to find out if it was going to be there, because I've cruised before. And they were like, "We don't know." And I was like, "You tell me if that fountain will be there." I just didn't say. I was just practicing my metal voice. But so then we covered as many things as we could in chocolate and ate all of them.
And the broccoli was good.
Broccoli was pretty fucking good, you guys.
There is a library that we really wanted to use, but they used it to sell merchandise.
Ship
so no one
merch.
Could go to the library on the boat.
Stuff like crazy bitch koozies and crazy bitch other things,
mm-hmm.
because there are a lot of crazy bitches.
What was your favorite part of the cruise?
Wow. My serious part? Like the
serious part.
Where I legitimately was like, I love this cruise.
Seriously. Did you really love this cruise?
There was a weird island that we went to 2 days out of the cruise that was owned by Norwegian Cruise Line, and we walked on to the very end of it, the furthest away from the terrible bands and people. And we were in like a little lagoon.
Oh, I hope. That's me, sorry.
And we spelled out on the sand "help" in large letters. And then we befriended a volleyball. No. But I think that was my favorite part, was being like, I hope someone rescues us from this cruise.
My favorite part was not understanding what irony is and trying to baptize myself during PODs alive in the ocean, which I did. But I don't know if that's irony or I was genuinely enjoying myself. I don't know what is good and what's bad anymore.
You guys looked really playful as I just continue to get even more.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get to this interview. It's 7 minutes long. We're going to talk over it. We're going to pause it. It's horrible. He is a horrible human being.
Like, you're not going to – it's not like – he doesn't say anything, but he also says everything.
Yeah. It'll make a lot of sense.
And
I hope this works.
And he has a really bad beard now, and it's – and I think I tugged on it just a touch because I didn't think it was real. Oh, and you're also going to hear ship announcements in the middle of it.
Are you having a good time? Okay, that was not the first question. The first question was, Fred, we do a series on Brightest Young Things. It's called Nightmare Gig. Could you think of one bad gig that you've ever been a part of? Just one. I only need one example of a bad gig. And he had a 10-second pause and just stared into space.
You know what probably happened? All of Limp Bizkit's career came crashing down in front of him, and he was, and he could not pick just one. So his brain shut down.
Good.
I mean, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
A friend of mine said it's basically prison with the option of drowning.
That's his description of a boat.
No, prison with a chance of drowning.
Yeah.
I didn't record this poorly. This is how the man talks.
No, I think it's cool, man.
Well, it's cool for you.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You can't.
The question Jen just asked was,
how did you get involved in directing eHarmony commercials? Because he does.
How did that happen?
That's a friend of mine produced them, produces them.
What friend?
And they needed a director, and I took a look at the campaign.
And there were no other directors.
The storyboards and stuff.
The storyboards.
And I'm a director's, I mean, I'm an actor's director. So it's all about casting and
Wait,
finding
please
someone
pause
who can,
it. He's like, I love working with actors. If you've ever watched an eHarmony commercial, and I have, there are only two people in the eHarmony commercials. It's the weird old guy who owns eHarmony, who is not an actor, and then inexplicably, like, a bunch of kids being like, when are we going to be able to grow up and fuck? And he's like, just get on my website. So when Fred Durst is like, I need to be around actors, he meant those people.
Give you what you need in a few seconds. Sell the commercial in a few seconds.
Who's your favorite actor you've ever worked with?
Oh, I haven't got to work with many actors, but, you know.
Well, you've made, what, like 5 films, I thought.
No, I made 2. I'm working on my 3rd, which is very, very, going to be a very cool one. But
this is the best.
I wanted to get him to say the films because the second film he directed was Are We There Yet 2, starring Ice Cube. Didn't you direct the houses you were on, or were you just on those?
I direct, what?
Weren't you on House?
On what's House?
I
was House again.
It's a show he was on.
Weren't you in House? He goes, what's House?
Just acting.
I thought you also directed that. I apologize.
That'd have been cool.
It would have been cool if you directed that.
It's no eHarmony.
The Education of Charlie Banks.
Yeah.
So Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
You know, was good in there. Jason Ritter was amazing in that. And I got to work with direct Ice Cube, and that was pretty great.
Well, it's also weird because like you collaborated with Ice Cube musically, like what, 5 years before you directed him on film. It's got to be a little weird, in a good way. You know the guy.
He's a very, very talented guy, believe
yes,
it or
he
not.
Is.
He really is. He's.
We all agree that Ice Cube is very talented.
Do you guys know who Ice Cube is?
He's the preparation of filmmaking.
What's the 3rd film going to be about?
It's actually, you know, something I've been working on a long time. I don't even know if I could say it. I guess I could say
okay,
it.
Wait.
I don't know.
At this point, he kept looking over his shoulder as if a lawyer was going to pop out and be like, Fred, we really can't tell anybody about this movie yet because maybe I'm going to steal the rights to it and make it myself.
It's got some big people involved.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be just considered, I would say...
This is the thing he's most passionate about in life, and this is how he talks
about
it.
I asked him the genre.
Drama. but not necessarily. No. No, just an incredible story.
Wait.
Like a story like Almost Famous with okay. But it's a true story.
So is Almost Famous!
You won't believe of who it's about. Yeah, no.
Where are you at this level right now of the movie?
We're trying to see who's going to write the script.
They don't have a script! It's not a movie!
Meeting people, someone who can adapt the book into a script. And it's not easy to adapt a book.
Says Fred Durst, who's never adapted a book.
I could tell you, it's awesome. You would know. But it's great. It's going to be cool, and I imagine at some point when there's a writer on board and we have the script.
Wait, so there is a writer, and we have a script now in the span of 5 seconds.
Yeah, but it's music-oriented. But the music is just a backdrop. It's not like...
Like music in any film.
Not even close. Yeah, it's completely different. I don't know. That's cool. We get to play inside tonight. I'm better.
Why is it? That's better?
Yeah, because I think everybody can sit down and enjoy. This isn't a mosh pit jumping cruise. Not. So, if that's the case, be in a nice seat that's so elevated that
you're
can.
That theater.
Yeah, so
we're literally
you can see
at
everything.
Sea level. We're
and
not elevated
cool.
at all.
We can relax and chill. And is there? Doesn't look like it.
This is where I asked him if he was going on the inexplicable haunted house. That was happening, and he goes, "Oh, is there a haunted house?" Genuinely interested.
Hey, that's that guy doing my announcement.
Multiple times on the first night, Fred Durst commandeered the sound system, and this is your captain, Freddie D.
But
drinks are on me.
He didn't. He said it like honestly. He was like, "Maybe I'm at a funeral. Maybe I'm on this ship." I have no idea.
Did they give you a hat? What, did you ask for a hat?
Didn't ask for one.
I asked if he asked for a captain's hat.
Elton John?
Elton John.
I just asked Elton for one.
Let's start with the main theater. Announcements, sorry guys.
On the last day, there were these announcements over everywhere, even in your room, every 45 minutes. Black Label Society, 8:45.
And then at midnight,
Limp Bizkit.
Top bill.
That was 10:30. No, we said they could do it midnight.
To his credit, he stayed with us
I don't know why everybody's
throughout the announcement.
And you hosted nothing. You were the last show. 3 o'clock will be at 10 p.m. Crunch. 5:30, 3 Years Hollow.
7 p.m., Zach Myers. 9:30, Tremonti. Who are these bands?
I haven't looked at it once.
Who are these bands?
Is there really?
There was an awards ceremony. The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Spinnaker
Lounge. 7:30 will be Wilson. You're ready to get off.
This is him telling me I'm ready to leave this ship.
It's okay. You can edit that out.
We're not.
You'll take the quote that I said, the guy said about the prison, and you act like I said that.
I don't know what he just said just then. Please help.
I haven't. And I will tell you. Never.
Would you do it again?
Yeah, but I want to run my own.
What would be different?
Everything.
Well, give me an example. Would you play it?
I just have an idea. This is Fred letting us know that now he wants his own ship, and he's going to do it his way or the highway.
Themes?
What's your ideal lineup for your crew? Is that
too much? It's too much.
Okay. Are there bands?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, one of them there's bands, and the other one there isn't.
Two cruises in the works, guys.
No, because I just talked to
the other
guys
just
who run
a cruise.
This, and they love it. And
so
I just talked to the people who can stream it, and they love it. So as long as I get it locked down, then I'll talk about it.
Wait, he's already done more with his two fake cruises than this weird movie.
You're gonna hear about it. Actually, I think the platform and the canvas is great.
This, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's. I didn't know what to expect.
There's the music, by the way. They piped.
And so, I feel like when it comes to rock and things like that, rock isn't a genre that's powering anything these days financially. So, they have to work within a certain parameters, and it's just the way it is right now. And until something exciting comes along for it to respark genre.
Yeah.
But now you're lucky this even exists.
Seamless cruise,
For the subculture.
Yeah. How are you?
Do you believe?
There she is.
This is when two of the ship's workers come up to Fred asking for an autograph.
They're like, hey, Fred. And I was like, uh-oh, somebody.
And I can't stop giggling.
Hold on a second. Do I want it?
When you're done here, you're done.
I'm ready.
When you're done with this, you can
eat it. Whatever you want.
Oh,
it's done?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No fun.
And then his manager comes over.
The switch of schedule, the rain.
That's Al. And Al comes over and he says, when you're done here, you're done. And I said, are you murdering him after this?
Whatever you want.
Thanks,
Al. Sure, we could wrap.
And then I stopped the recorder. Because the one question that was not recorded was it was about Cash Money, because I knew things. Their most recent record was on Cash Money. The lead single features Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
And I knew that that ended poorly, so I just asked him about that for 5 minutes.
Absolutely.
And he just said gibberish. The one thing that I would like to point out to you guys that weren't Jen and I is he was wearing a custom Limp Bizkit coat. And it was an L.L. Bean coat. So I just want to say thanks to L.L. Bean for making custom Limp Bizkit quotes.
And also,
Jesus Christ.
Thanks to L.L. Bean for sponsoring tonight's show.
Yeah. So Jen's going to leave the stage now. But before Jen leaves, I'm going to play the song that got the biggest reaction when Limp Bizkit played on opening night of Shiprocked. This is a classic Limp Bizkit song. And they're known for it, and they're just fucking amazing. What? Why is everybody laughing?
I'm already excited because okay. I know what's coming.
So this was the song, no joke, that got the biggest reaction. This is the version that Limp Bizkit played.
No,
I don't think you do, sir.
I don't
think you do. Put your hands together for Jen Tisdale, everybody. They played that song 1.5 times. That song, they didn't cover it. They just played that song on the speakers. During the second time they played it, Fred would occasionally go, ugh, and that was it. That got the biggest reaction. They actually played another song like that. This got the second biggest reaction of the night. This is another classic Limp Bizkit song that people paid $2,000 to hear on a boat. Classic Limp Bizkit by Ludacris featuring No Limp Bizkit. It's a Ludacris song, everybody. That was the song. They played that. They played that. Wes Borland at one point played just this part of Welcome to the Jungle. That got a big reaction. This was my personal favorite of the Limp Bizkit set. The quote from Fred Durst, or Captain Freddie D, as we affectionately referred to him, was, Pearl Jam is my shit, and then they proceeded to play this. Pearl Jam's classic, Heart-Shaped Box. They played this. And every sound man checking every single set also played that. That's killing the name. Yeah, agreed. And then finally, the song that we've all come to hear Limp Bizkit play, that they played the chorus of once when Wes Borland would wander on and off the stage. Coming to the stage is a very funny comic from Washington. She's a big Limp Bizkit fan. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Alyssa Cohen, everybody. Alyssa. Nice shirt, Alyssa.
Thanks.
Did you wear that because you know I love the WWE?
No, I wore it because I love the WWE.
We're going to talk about that after your set.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
I'm so fucking excited.
You better be funny.
Fuck
now.
Fuck this set. I just want to talk about... I'm just kidding. Oh, my gosh. They played a Ludacris song. It sounds like that boat was Ludacris, right? You guys, I a lot of people have been talking about Tinder. I'm like, Tinder? I barely know her, literally. Hey! Because it's Tinder. Huh? Huh? Team? All right. I feel like, I'm a big butt rock fan. I don't know. But I feel like there's a thing that that pop and the shit on the radio has over that is that you always know who's actually in the song. That's kind of nice because the song will start and you'll hear like Jason Derulo, Pitbull, Neil Diamond. I haven't listened to the radio. Haven't listened to the radio in a while, but I know they do that, so it's nice. It's nice that you can know what's in the song. Like you've never seen Slipknot, and then they start a song, and it's like Scary Guy 1, Scary Guy 2, Scary Guy 3. Yeah, that guy was super into that joke. Here's a fun fact. I was watching TV, and I realized that if you name your television show Anderson Cooper 360, it just makes it sound like the most boring skateboard trick ever. Just ever. Ugh. Is anybody else excited that they came out with freestyle skateboarding, by the way? Because before that, there were just so many rules. So many rules. Why can't they let the skateboarders be free? Thanks, Obama. God, hope you guys voted. Keep those skateboarders free. That joke is so fucking dumb. I get it. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I feel good. Yeah, what's surprising is my boss actually supports me doing this silly comedy shit. He says to me, Alyssa, don't quit comedy because you suck at your day job. You're terrible. I was like, hey, boss man, my last job called. They want their opinions back. Oh, he needed ointment for that burn. Hey, guys, Liam Neeson called. He wants his family back. Hey, all the good ones are taken. All of them. God, I don't keep seeing in movies like people are kidnapping kids. Like it's like a thing people do. I'm like, why would you kidnap kids? Because then you would have kids. Isn't that the thing we're all trying to avoid, like, all the time? You know, it's like, I just wanted some sick ransom money, and now I gotta figure out how to put food in three mouths and put three boys through college. Oh, my God, I have to quit kidnapping to focus on my family. I need to raise these three boys to be big, strong, good men. That, okay, I went to a weird place. That, oh my gosh. Oh, you guys, I was listening to the radio. I was listening to NPR because I'm fun. And they said in there, they're like, this whole week we've been talking about Alzheimer's. I was like, I don't remember that shit. And they said something like, hey, if you give up your cup of coffee every morning, you can save that money and you can use that money to support your NPR or your NPR station. And if you support us, we'll give you this NPR coffee mug. I'm like, the fuck am I gonna put in this coffee mug? You already took away my coffee. I can't put orange juice in it. I heard that's what poor people do. Yes. I know that. No, it's fine. I put orange juice in my coffee mug, but really I just want people to know I'm the world's greatest dad. I'm like, this is for the podcast audience. I'm making this motion like I'm holding a mug, but it also looks like I'm hitting a kid, but I'm not because I'm a good dad. I don't hit. Welcome to the show, people. I'm glad you came in at this point. my check engine light came on in my car, and then I did what anybody does, and I just drove around for three more days, and then it turned off, and I was like, that's pretty sweet. My car checked itself before it wrecked itself. Yeah! Hey! Really? That's the one I lose you on? Come on. Do you guys like impressions? How much time do I have?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay, I'm not doing that one then. All right. Now I'll do this one. Okay. You guys, I read somewhere that you're supposed to snap your fingers at your dog to get its attention, but now my dog just thinks I like all her poetry. And that's certainly not the case. Yeah. me and my dog were talking the other day, and she was like, hey, how come I can't eat out of the trash, but you can eat garbage food like McDonald's? And I said, you know, I really regret getting you language lessons. That was, come on, guys, that one was cute. That was really cute. Came into my house, and my dog was standing on the coffee table. And I was fucking furious. I would have been less furious if she said something like, coffee's not the only hot thing you can put on this coffee table. Oh. I like that one. That went so many different places. All right. Here's one impression. Got a good impression for you. Life's a grave. Dig it. I think that was The Undertaker. Okay. That was for you, man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. I'm gonna do this last joke. And it's actually not a joke. It's a true story. It's a fun fact, something that happened to me. Once I was in the New York subway. I know. Humble brag. And this guy came up to me and he was like, yo, you look like the bitch from the Scooby-Doo. Hey, podcast people that you're listening, that means you need to Google me. Alyssa Cowan on the internet. People think I look like Scooby, like Velma from Scooby-Doo. That's why the joke is super great. So, but it's not great in this instance because you can't see me. But now you'll want to come see me at my next show to verify whether I look like Velma from Scooby-Doo. And on that awkward note, that'll be the end of my set. Thank you very much, everybody.
Alyssa, sit down.
Yay. Thank you.
Who's your favorite wrestler?
Chris Jericho.
Why?
Because boo. Who's booing Chris Jericho? Oh my God, I do know. Because I thought he was hilarious. He was a silly man, and he was like a technical high flyer, mm-hmm. but not really, because he could still powerbomb people.
He was like Shawn Michaels in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you listen to Talk as Jericho?
I do, sporadically.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Who did you think should have won the Rumble?
My hope was that it would have been Dean Ambrose, but I thought Seth Rollins was going to win.
Really? Why?
Because I thought that they were going to give it to a heel, and I thought it might have been interesting if they gave it to the guy who already had money in the
bank.
But
isn't Lesnar a heel?
I don't fucking know.
I mean, he kind of is a heel. I know this is just for me. Give me one more minute about this. Do you have the network?
I do have the network.
Are you thinking about unsubscribing?
No, what's sad is I resubscribed to watch the Rumble, and then I was like, well, I can't just unsubscribe 2 days later.
Yeah, they have a pay-per-view every month now. It's absurd.
Yeah, I'm not going to unsubscribe.
What do you hope happens at WrestleMania?
I hope they do a double turn.
And?
And I hope Rollins turns into, or not Rollins, Reigns turns into a bad guy, becomes a Paul Heyman guy, and then they write Brock Lesnar out because he's a big giant oaf and I'm tired of seeing him.
But he's technically amazing. He's so good.
But it's not fun to have him just show up every once in a while because I feel like it's hard for them to build a storyline around him.
Fair enough. We should have to move on because no one but me enjoys this. I apologize so much. How does it feel to be referred to as a cast member of a hit franchise like Scooby-Doo?
Oh, it feels amazing.
Cool. Would you go on that cruise I was just on?
Well, yeah, because I heard Andrew W.K. was on it.
Yeah, but you could also see him on land.
That's true. I have seen him on land.
Yeah, you don't have to go on a shitty boat to do that. Have you ever been on a cruise?
I have. Well, once I was on a little boat that was a commuter boat.
Nope.
But that doesn't. Okay, so not a cruise.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You're funny.
Never?
No, don't ever go. Honestly, it's really not worth it.
Should I? I can't be a cruise ship comic ever.
Do you hate yourself?
No, not really.
Then you shouldn't do that.
All right.
You got any gigs to plug?
No, not really.
Okay,
but,
good.
Google me on the internet.
I'm going to play a song that's not necessarily about you, but it's a song that I enjoy very much that I heard kind of on the boat 30 times.
In passing. Did you say something really quick?
Sure. Hey, guys. You're all awesome, and thanks for being here, and Wonderland's really cool, and that guy's got some neat shoes. And there's a lot of stuff on the walls here. It's like shenanigans.
Ladies and gentlemen, Alyssa Cowan, everybody. Coming to stage. Whoa. What happened? Seriously, what happened?
Did I hit a button? I hit a button and...
This is... Oh, it's trying to tune me with the song. Don't turn it off. Leave it.
I know what I'm doing. Just leave it. Don't do that. Oh,
we're going to make it even more fun. Guys, we're in outer space.
coming to the stage is a man who would be just in so happy on Shiprocked. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together
for Haywood Turnip Seed Jr.
Hey, Haywood, how are you?
I'm great, man, that you brought me up with auto-tune.
Do you want me to turn it on for you?
That was auto-tune. That was that T-Pain shit. Do it.
No, it's only on this mic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Jason Derulo.
Haywood. Haywood, it's nice to
that
see.
Was awesome.
You're the fifth black person I've seen this week.
Woo! You saw some niggas on the ship.
All four members of Living Color, and that's it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and the, I'm sorry, you're the sick. And the guy from Seven Dust.
And Seven Dust. And ain't somebody in Limp Bizkit? Method Man was like.
He wasn't in Limp Bizkit.
For like a day.
They did a song together.
They were in together.
And he literally pushes Fred away with him the entire video.
It was dope. I love that song.
Was it?
That's how I know them.
All right.
Wu-Tang.
What are we talking about
call
tonight?
Back.
You're my friend. What are we talking about?
Hey, Jen. What's up? I know that the people at home can't see you, but the people in the audience was like, look at that.
How has the week been? I've been
my week?
Yeah, how's your week been?
It's cool, man. It's Black History Month. This has been the first week of Black History Month. It's been a celebration. I've been late everywhere I go. Nobody been saying shit. I can order chicken and don't nobody look crazy at me.
You know, the song I brought you on is called Crazy Bitch.
Oh. Yeah, I know some of them, too, and that's cool. This has been a good week, man.
What do you want to talk about? I'm fucking dumb right now.
Well, you just got off a ship, so now you know how we felt.
Don't deny that exists.
Get right to work, nigga.
That exists.
Get right to work. He got off a ship and got right to work. I love your ethic. You have learned something. Fuck them, man.
Now you're right.
Fuck that shit. That's what I want to talk about. It is Black History Month, and then we're in front of white people who never had slaves, so they're like, Let me tell you how Black
History. All these hoity-toity whites without slaves.
And I can understand, because like this is how Black History Month really started, right?
Yeah.
Like we know, like Frederick Douglass was a major abolitionist, right? So when he went to a place and started speaking, somebody was like, "Yo, what's his story?" Mm-hmm. And then somebody else was like, "He black.
He needs a month."
And that's it. Ooh, that fell flat.
Yeah, it did. Let's talk more about slavery.
Like most Black History Month. So no, let's talk about what? Well, it's Black History Month. Super Bowl was great. Like, the Super Bowl was great. First thing happened on Black History Month. You could have given the ball to a black motherfucker who won the Super Bowl. But no, he wouldn't do interviews afterwards, so that shit can't happen. So Tom Brady's still the whitest man in America.
You've just perfectly framed the Super Bowl now. Everything fucking makes sense now. Nothing made sense for the last six days.
It was like, you don't give it to the black guy who we call beast mode. You can't do that shit. That nigga ain't doing interviews. You give it to the white guy who's going to wear Uggs and be pretty.
You're right.
Black History Month.
Fuck.
Right. See, I say that because I look like a retired Richard Sherman, apparently. So people have said that. So during Black History Month, I don't want to talk about black history because it's really not funny to people. It really is a serious thing. You know, of course, like it's hashtag Black Lives Matter. Only when they're behind a hashtag, though. Funny. Ooh, this is falling flat. So what I would like to talk about, something that would lift us up, is Bob Marley. Today is February 6th, and it's Bob Marley's what would have been his 7th birthday on Earth.
Yeah.
So I would like to talk about like one of the coolest dudes to ever roam the planet. Mr. Bob Marley.
And I would like to talk about another important man. It's also Ronald Reagan's birthday, everybody. Give it up to Ronald Reagan.
So we're talking about God and the devil.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to clap. All right. We back, baby. We back. We black.
Yeah.
No, because Bob Marley, what do you think of when you think of Bob Marley?
I think of a guy that should have got surgery on that toe.
Well...
And then he'd be alive. That's what I think
about
most.
You think
most.
Dark, man.
Yeah, it's Black History.
You know the CIA killed him, right?
Sure.
You know, the CIA killed him to put him on T-shirts. Because here's the truth about Bob Marley. He was like, we think like peace and love and one love and all this stuff. Bob Marley was a fucking real, like a rebellious dude. He wasn't like Che Guevara was like one of his heroes and Black Panther. He grew up wanting to be a Black Panther and shit like that. Like, he did songs like, you're familiar with Haile Selassie, the Emperor.
Yes.
So like one of his good songs is War. And people like talk about Bob Marley like peace and love. And I'm like, this is what happens to fucking people when we die. And they don't talk about us in a true form anymore. They don't.
Who do you blame that on?
White people. Because it's like the only reason Bob Marley is cool because you can make money off of him. When Bob Marley was Bob Marley, he was alive. He wasn't good enough. He was uprising. He was war. He was Exodus. Movement of your people. Now he's dead. He's a T-shirt.
But his family is reaping the benefits of his estate.
They are rich.
And that's good. He literally kept it in the family. That's nice, right?
Well, he
something.
Kept it in a few families.
That's right. He just had a big heart. Just because he had multiple.
He had a big
he's
heart.
He's got a big heart,
a nice
guys.
Nice-sized cock because he showed up, gave it to everybody he could give it to. I was like, I think I found out I was one of Bob Marley's illegitimates. Me and Richard Sherman. No, because this is I say that to say, like, I love the measure of a man. I love what we do. Like, we talk about color commentary, right?
Of course,
we comment
of course.
On color. But the color commentary on this is that this is a very, it is cool to talk about a peaceful person, but we need to talk about the person in the whole, not as a half. You know, that was his whole point. That's why he didn't get his toe cut off, because when he died, he wanted to be a whole man. Know the
well,
whole man.
No, that's not why.
Yes, that's true.
No, he didn't believe
it. I'm black. I know the truth. You white. Don't tell it to me. No, nigga. What actually happened was. That was for us. That was like. I love the WWE convo, too, by the way.
Who's your guy?
Still? The Rock.
Seriously?
Yes. The Rock is the best to ever. This motherfucker went from being Rocky Bavia to
know,
Rocky Johnson to being a pimp, and it worked. And you know why? Because it doesn't matter.
But so you like Roman Reigns because you like the whole Samoan like family then?
Well, no, I like The Rock.
But they're literally
I like his dad. I like his dad. Yeah. I did like his dad.
Well, we lost people like four times during this snap.
we'll catch them on the podcast. so that's the color commentary, man. When we talk about Black History Month, the people don't want to be reminded of the history of people, right? But the thing is that Black history just doesn't start with slavery. All people are black. This is what Bob Marley was talking about. You just have the one drop.
Well, do you teach your children about Bob Marley? Or they?
I do. We listen to Bob Marley all day today.
But like, do you play like the heavy stuff, or you just play like the fun stuff for the?
Oh no,
ones?
We talk about all. Like we play war. We talk about war. We talk about until you know. We talk about that whole thing. Like until how's the song go? Until the color of a man's skin is as much as his eyes. You talk about that.
That's nice.
We do. We talk because here's the truth, man. I have to tell my kids about like the march, you know, like Selma and stuff like that. Like we have to tell my kids about that. Like, hey, life wasn't always great for us. It wasn't always basketball and white women and reefer. It wasn't always that. It was a time when that shit was like taboo, nigga. Like now they give it to you when you come out of college. Here's your 40 acres. And look, Frederick Douglass is in the corner loving it. You guys missed it. That's my man. I call him Frederick Douglass. You know, Frederick Douglass is married to a white woman. That's black history that they don't want to talk about. Why don't they make a movie about that shit?
There's not a movie about him.
I know, right? He wrote his own biography. You know why there's not a movie about it? Because they wait for him to write it.
Maybe that's what Fred Durst is developing right now.
Fred Durst is a genius. Leave him alone. That motherfucker's a genius. You get fucking DMX, yourself, and Method Man all on the same track. I'm still rolling with it. I am. I thought he was a fucking genius. I thought all of that shit was good.
You just like successful people.
What's that other one he did? Break shit?
Yeah.
Break stuff? That's
yeah.
one of my favorite songs. I'm gonna break your fucking face. It's all about the he say, she say bullshit. That's the shit. Like today, he's talking about reality TV. It's all about the he say, she say bullshit. And then, you know, like, I got a chainsaw. I take it to your face raw. Who hasn't felt like that at work? LeBron felt like that when he took his talents to South Beach. Fuck Cleveland. I'm out of here.
Have you been to Cleveland?
Yes. Fuck Cleveland. I'm out of here. And at one point, it was the promised land for my people.
Final part of this segment. You were on a cruise recently.
I've never been on a cruise,
man. You performed on a cruise.
No, I performed on the island. Like, I took a plane.
That's not the same.
I don't do boats and white people. Nope. You will never. It ain't got shit to do with slavery. It's just like the Titanic. Y'all don't have good records, period.
Yeah.
Boats. You either losing them to Somalians who should not know shit about fucking naval nothing. Like, this is like, what's the movie with Tom Hanks, right? Captain Phillips?
No. Captain Phillips,
right? And this dude.
Is it Captain Phillips?
This fucking Somalian.
No, it was Castaway.
No, that's the same shit.
I know, I'm being a dick.
Same shit. That's the thing. Like, the dude is basically a castaway, and then he goes, you know what? I'm going to take the boat. That shit, please, nigga. You can't even take my car. How you going to take the boat? It's funny because it's true. I'm sorry, progressive white people. I know, I'm fucking with you, fucking like your heads right now because they're like, wait, we want to give him a scholarship.
I'm like surprised that there's not a Frederick Douglass movie.
Are you surprised he had to write his own book? It was so good.
It'd be a great movie.
It would be a great movie. Like literally, like he, you know, how Frederick Douglass got his freedom? He baked sweets. He was a good cook, and he baked sweets, and he gave sweets to little white boys, and they taught him letters.
How about this?
He traded sweets for cupcakes.
How about this? How about you and me develop a sitcom? We update the story, and we open. It's a sitcom for ABC, kind of like how Selfie is about a different thing. And we're going to develop it, and we're going to be a cupcake shop in Georgetown. I'm going to be your boss.
I like that.
I'm going to be your boss, and then I'll give you freedom through sweets.
Do I get to push you down the stairs at the end of the movie?
You'll push me down the Exorcist
stairs. Yeah, that'll work.
But then I'll be like, oh, hey, what? And then it'll be cute.
They would say, let's make a mockery of it all.
Yeah, we're going to do that together. It's going to be fun.
That would be great. That would be great. It would be comedy. If we could keep it like Orange is the New Black funny.
So there's like a yeah.
Have you seen that?
No, I have. I'm trying to think of how this
Here's
relates to our
for,
cupcake shop.
Well, no, because like Orange is the New Black is a funny ass show. Like even when you're serious, it's like, oh yeah.
There's always that
waka
moment,
waka
yeah.
waka. Here's a question for you.
What if Orange is the New Black was actually Muppets?
That would be awesome. What if it was a black woman in that orange? Would we care about the show as much?
Oh no, exactly. No. Why would we? That's
it.
Disgusting.
Would be called Get Over It.
Yeah,
bitch.
Come on, lady. Come on, lady.
Get out of here.
You're silly.
You're making a mockery of the justice system.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's
we lost everybody?
Yeah, completely. I'm glad you were
where
here.
Where did we lose you? No.
We never had him tonight.
What if Frederick Douglass did that? Where did I lose you guys at?
And then we have a spin-off sitcom where Frederick Douglass becomes a stand-up.
And, here's what's funny. It's Frederick Douglass and it's Jim Brown, and they're going on a tour. It's called The Abolitionists.
Good times.
You guys know who Jim Brown is? This is the white man who freed black people. He was awesome. He died at Harper's Ferry, West Virginia.
John Brown.
No. John Brown. Did I say Jim Brown? Oh, excuse me. Thank you, white man, for making me right. Thank you, white man. I said Jim Brown. Why not? You know, that's because the black man who was with him called him Jim. He did. He was like, I don't give a fuck. Your name is Jim.
I thought you were talking about Judge Joe Brown for the longest
Judge
time.
Judge Joe Brown is different.
Yeah.
John Brown. You're right. John Brown. That's a movie. That's a movie in the making.
I only know John Bryan. Oh. Sorry, that lost everyone.
No, I know who that is. I know who that is.
I'm just
He worked with Kanye.
He did.
See, we're hip.
I wish you were on the cruise with me. Next year, we'll never do this again. Okay.
You got to go back.
I am not going back.
You got to go back.
I want to stay married. I'm not going back.
No, I didn't take my wife to Aruba. That's a work trip.
Oh, boy.
I'm not going with you on a work trip.
You got anything to plug?
Of course.
Please do that now, sir, if you'd like.
Okay, yeah, first and third Tuesdays at Sally's, I always am. If you're in the Baltimore
Why
area.
Why are you talking like Yoda? Sorry.
Smarter than these people, I may be.
Yeah.
First and third Tuesdays at Sally's, we really would love your attendance today. That is the main thing I would like to plug. Attack of the Comics is a show that I really love doing, thanks to this good man here,
Brandon
Weatherby. He's a really cool people. I love my owners. February.
This is like the third show in a row where you've referred to me as
because you are the man. It has nothing to do. Like
that's what you tell people.
If it was Jamel sitting in that seat, I would say the same thing. I'd be like, "You the man. You the boss. Whatever. You Sam Jackson and Django. Same difference. I'm a rebel. I just don't like the boss. I don't give a fuck what his skin color is. He could be a Martian. I'd be like, look here, Marvin. Get off. What do you want me to get to work, nigga? And then Myth and Moonshine, I'll be in Baltimore February 24th.
What is it called? Wait.
Myth and Moonshine.
Myth and Moonshine?
Right.
Is that the name of the venue or the show?
Name of the venue.
Okay, Myth and Moonshine. Do you know the neighborhood?
It's like Fells Point.
Okay, cool. All that info is on Facebook? Your site?
Yeah, all of that. You follow me on Facebook. Hey, Woodturn MC Jr. Friend me on Twitter. Woody Seed. Or actually, hit me up on Reverb Nation where you can get links to songs and have my voice as a ringtone if you like me in your back pocket. That would be awesome.
I didn't know you had a ringtone.
I'm a walking ringtone, my friend.
I know. You have the best laugh in this city. I have the second best laugh.
You do.
I do. I cackle. I just
no. Like when you laugh, it's fucking awesome.
Like that, yeah.
It's awesome.
It's really bad.
It's awesome.
You can tell when we're in the same room. I'm glad you're my friend. I feel like
I'm glad you're back safe, man.
Same here.
I'm telling you. I thought you were gonna wind up on the moon. You're like, there's no way Limp Bizkit is on a cruise ship.
You'll see him whenever he wants on this show. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Haywood Turnipseed Jr.
Auto-tune.
All right, this is really cool. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Champagne Fever.
But this time I gotta go. Quit your job 4 days ago. rest in two, 4 days to come. Well, it gets better if you let it go. Pretty soon we'll be fine on our own. It's just a birthday girl who gives a fuck when you are all fired up. Smearing your makeup, crying on the bus, that shit is not fun. Seems like lately that's the way it goes whenever I come back. So I just bailed on, man, I had to run, yeah, it was that bad. Cocaine with your Cheerios, still in last night's pantyhose. It's been worse, baby, I suppose, but this time I gotta go. You quit your job 4 days ago, rent's been due 4 days ago. Well, it gets better if you let it go. Pretty sure we'll be fine on our own. Well, I'm not saying I was right, but you've been acting heartless, heartless. 6 months now, you're someone else. So don't be so polite. Girl, don't treat me like this, like this. 6 months now, you found yourself. And I've been trying to take your pulse, but you treat me like a ghost. Cocaine with your Cheerios, still in last night's pantyhose. And it's been worse, baby, I suppose, but this time I gotta go. Quit your job 4 days ago, and rent's been due 4 days ago. Well, it gets better, just let it go. Pretty sure we'll be fine on our own. Be fine on our own. Thank you. We're Champagne Fever. Champagne Fever. This song is about doing bad shit, but it's fun. I'll smash my phone, hit the road, and rub my credit out. And if you wanna lay down, I'll burn it up, make it strong, and put a record on. So I'll let it out, run up to you breathing. Skip the higher ground, run into the deep end. Come on, baby, let's get low. Let's get low. I wanna swallow up your dreams with you got me splitting at the seams. You got me too fucked up to drink. So naturally I want you stealing all your drinks. I want you sitting out of sleep. I'll let it out, wanna feel you breathing. Skip the higher ground, fall into the deepest. The fall, baby, let's get low, let's get low.
Champagne Fever. Thank you. Thank you to Brandon and everybody, Wonderland, so on and so forth. Paul, Lauren, I don't know anybody else here. Thank you, guys. We're Champagne Fever.
Daylight, I'm a statue.
And in the night my head falls off. Yeah, I lead a parade and I drink my demons gone. Yeah, just laughing my head off. And while you were sleeping, I danced in the hall.
If you're feeling alright, tonight. The fuck tomorrow, live tonight. Believe me, baby, I know. No, no, it's a pattern, there's a way that it always goes. When you're living so cold, 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 you stumble through sheets, you never find a home. The fuck tomorrow, live tonight. You fuck tomorrow, live tonight. Fuck tomorrow, live tonight. You fuck tomorrow, live tonight. I can't kick it so right. We just fade into tonight. Just a trick of the mind. The sea, Katie, it's fine. We just don't turn on the light. And if you're feeling alright, then fuck tomorrow, live tonight. Believe me, baby, I know. No, no, it's a pattern, there's a way that it always goes. When you're living so cold, 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 you stumble through sheets, you never find a home. But fuck tomorrow, live tonight. But fuck tomorrow, live tonight. Fuck tomorrow, live tonight. Fuck tomorrow, live tonight. Thank you, guys. We're called Champagne Fever. And we have an EP you can have for free. Or you can give us money for it if you want to. Thank you so much.
Joker, come on. Hold on, turn this off. Turn this shit off. This guy's like, I'm like, that was really good. He's like, really? Are you sure? Yeah, I'm fucking sure. I got good taste, motherfucker. I go on boats and shit. Get off my stage. You guys are perfect. So fucking good. So fucking good. Champagne Fever. You're very talented and you're good at what you do. What time? Wasn't that good? We're going to clear this stage in 9 minutes so the Wonderland DJ could come up here and do his thing. This might be the only time where the DJ has seen the band before and been like, they're good. We've been doing this show a lot of years, and that never happens before. So thank you guys so much for doing that. For the people that actually enjoyed the bullshit shiprocked thing, we have 5 episodes of just Jen and I, and then for 2 wonderful episodes, a wonderful woman named Melissa, and you could listen to all those. There's a potential jail story in there, so download all those.